Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. R.C. Hall has been a lot of things in his life: a wrangler, a ski bum, a mountain guide, even a National Geographic photographer, where he traveled to the ends of the earth, including places like Antarctica, Patagonia, and Mozambique. But being a musician was always on his bucket list. At 55, he figured it was now or never. So in 2021, he contracted Lloyd Maines to help him produce his first album, Wood, Wire, and Whiskey, which R.C. says are the three most important things to writing a great song. R.C. joins us for this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about that long, interesting career and his new journey as a recording musician. Hello, R.C. Welcome to the call.
Hey, Greg. Appreciate it.
Thanks for
be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Where are we talking to you from?
From Rico, Colorado.
Okay.
Tucked away in the four corners of the Rockies at about 9,000 feet.
Ah, cool. All right. Is it, are you guys still, we're talking now mid-May. Are you guys still experiencing cold weather? Is it winter still?
Yeah, definitely. I still got a bit of a glacier in my front yard, and I think we just had quite a bit of snow last week.
Wow. Okay. When does it warm up?
Yeah, we're whenever it wants, really. You know, we don't even have any leaves on the trees yet.
Wow.
Got a little grass peeking through, but yeah. Hopefully we can get our tomatoes out by mid-June.
Okay.
Early mid-June.
Wow, that's crazy. Has that been home for you? You didn't grow up there, right?
No, I grew up in Missouri. I grew up on a little farm north of Kansas City in Missouri.
Okay.
And I've been out here in the Rockies about 30 years or so.
Was that family relocation, strategic move? What put you in Colorado?
I hit the road, I think, when I was 20 to be a ski bum.
Okay.
And moved into Eagle County, Colorado, and to start skiing with the idea that I was going to continue my education at CU in Boulder, but... Once I got up into the Rockies, it was really hard for me to go to the city. And I just, after a couple false starts, I kind of forgot about finishing up any college.
I think I read in the notes that music as a profession came a little later for you. Did you pick up trades? What kind of things did you do along the way?
Well, along the way, you know, I've done everything that a ski bum has to do, from washing dishes to cooking hamburgers to drywall to painting, you know, a few things that could get you into trouble, things of that nature.
Right.
Just, you know, whatever. It's sort of been like making a quilt over the years. Just something comes up and I just add it to the quilt.
Yeah.
So far, it's kept me warm most of the time. I spent some time, a lot of time traveling. I thought I was going to be an adventure photographer for a while, and actually worked for National Geographic on assignment a couple times, and in Patagonia, and worked as a photographer in Antarctica on a ship down there.
Wow.
And it even took me to the photography, even took me to Mozambique for about 4 months one summer.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool.
It's been a lot of wild, crazy experiences.
I'm sure you've collected a lot of mental or otherwise notes that contributed to your songwriting adventure?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's yeah, a lot of stuff I'm singing about is not made up out of thin air. It comes from, you know, a lot of experiences, good and bad, and you know, and stories of other people that I've encountered along the way as well.
Yeah. So you, if I understand correctly, did not start singing and playing at a young age. Is that right? You, what musical influence did you have? When did that kick in for you?
Well, I grew up with my dad, you know, singing in the car all the time. He loved Hank Snow. And so actually kind of a funny story. He was drafted into the AFL. No, I'm sorry, the NFL in 1958.
Wow.
And was drafted to the Steelers in 1958. And when they would haze all the rookies at lunchtime, they would make them stand up on the table at lunchtime and sing their college song. And my dad, he didn't even know his college song, so he would stand up on the table and just sing Hank Snow's tunes, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so he, it's funny, yeah, as a rookie, he became real tight with their quarterback, because he was from Texas. What was his name? Night Train, Bobby Night Train.
Oh,
Lane,
okay.
Yeah, quarterback.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, my dad had a guitar when he was young, and then he discovered football, and he ended up selling his guitar, and it kind of went to, you know, I grew up wanting to follow in his footsteps and kind of be an athlete, but eventually I came around, you know, to wanting to play music and sing. I've always wanted to be a writer, but I pretty much failed at that every, you know, every attempt, and I just realized that if you just make up your own songs and sing them around a campfire, you don't have to deal with any editors, and you can express yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, as you choose, and you know, without having to meet any deadlines or deal with any editors or all that nonsense that goes along with magazines,
right?
And that whole industry.
So, from that, moving out west, or moving further out west, I suppose is how you'd put it. Until here not that long ago, you, music really wasn't a thing that you pursued. What happened to lure you in?
It just was, it always seemed like, I don't know. I don't know what the right word is, but man, I guess jealous. I was always jealous to be left out. It seemed like everybody was having so much fun, and you know, whether it was just sitting around a campfire and somebody was singing songs, and or you know, at a show. And then in about 2009, I became involved with a music magazine as a photographer and writer. And so all of a sudden I was like really in the mix, in the thick of it, hanging out with a lot of musicians, all kinds of shows, taking photos. And it just dawned on me that, man, won't be long and you're going to be old. And you can either be old and not be a musician, or you can be old and be a musician. And so, I don't know. I think I was 41, 42, and
yeah.
I said, man, I'm going to buckle down. And, you know, what's wild is I really was just fell in love with chicken picking. And so I really wanted to be like a, try and be like a competent chicken picker on my Telecaster. But all these songs just started popping out as, you know, while I was, I woodshedded down in a little cabin in the Ozarks for about 6 months one winter. And I've always been a writer, so I guess it just kind of came natural that I would write songs, but I never really even dreamed of being a singer, and I'm not sure I qualify. I engage. I'm not sure if I would, you know, make
yeah.
it great, but I it feels good.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it.
Yeah. When did you know that you were onto something? You know, you're holed up in the cabin and I guess just entertaining yourself initially. When did it make sense that this was more than just passing time?
Oh, well, I felt like there might be some promise one night I was living in Buena Vista, a little, what used to be kind of a little cowboy town in southeastern Colorado on the Front Range. And I went to an open mic one night, and I was, you know, scared shitless, and I didn't even bring a guitar. I just went to watch, and there was a big old cowboy in there that played a couple songs, and, you know, great big old cowboy hat and boots and Wranglers. I mean, you know, the real deal, mm-hmm. singing cowboy songs. Mm-hmm. And I probably had a couple beers and a shot or something, and finally I was like, hey, man, could I borrow your guitar and sing a song? And so, I don't know, I probably sang Wagon Wheel, if I remember right. And I handed the guitar back, and this, you know, this big old giant cowboy looked at me and he goes, you got it, son. You got the high lonesome. And I just felt really good to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow.
You know, and so I was like, well, maybe he's right, maybe he's not, but it felt really good to get up there, despite the nerves, and it uh-huh. felt really good to hear that. So uh-huh. I just decided to keep chipping away at it.
You have an interesting quote in your notes. I've been in some wild situations in my life, but I have never been so terrified as I was at that first gig at the VFW hall. I love that quote.
Well, you know, it's true. As a mountaineer, a ski mountaineer, and, you know, of kind of an adventure photographer, man, you can get pretty far out there. But I always really felt at home out there, but I've never felt at home in front of people, you know. I've always preferred to be alone and out in the wilderness. Right. So I felt like, you know, it also kind of offered me an opportunity to, you know, to grow as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's true. I've spent a lot of cold bivouacs and avalanches and, you know, flying in a little Cessna 300 feet off the ground all day in Mozambique and things like that. But yeah. God, that first VFW gig, I felt like it was my first day of school in kindergarten.
Yeah. Just, wow. I guess you're wanting to cry. Yeah, when you're in situations like you described earlier, you're, you know, you're kind of at the fate of the universe. When you get on stage, you're kind of you're pretty out there. Your emotions are at the fate of the people sitting 10 feet in front of you. You know, it's a bit of a different experience for sure.
You're so vulnerable, especially in those early stages when, you know, I totally sucked. I was awful, and it was just such an emotional roller coaster. You're just like, you know, you're blowing everything, and you're like, God, thank God nobody's listening, you know? And then
yeah.
and then all of a sudden you catch on fire the song you really like, and you feel like you're really crushing it, and then you're like, God damn it, nobody's listening. And it just goes back and forth like that.
Yeah.
Some nights, you know, I just wanted to smash my guitar and just walk out of the bar. But,
wow. So at some point there in the middle of all of that, you felt like you had material good enough to find some way to get into the studio. Tell me about that.
Well, I've always been a huge fan of Wayne the Train.
Uh-huh.
And I even got, you know, the opportunity to party with him a little bit one night up in Jackson, Wyoming.
Wow.
He was just such the real deal, and I've always just loved him. And so consequently, because of that, I've kind of known, you know, who Lloyd Maines is as his
right.
producer, because he's done all 10 of Lloyd mm. of Wayne's albums. And there's a super talented musician here in Rico named Mike Enriquez, and the guy's just an incredible musician, and he's been super supportive of my songwriting and always said how much he loves my songs, and,
mm-hmm.
and so that gave me a little bit of a boost. And I saw this kid down Valley here in Dolores one night, and he was just a straight up old school country and western man, he was great, young kid. And I bought his CD, and I got home, and I saw it was produced by Lloyd Maines, and I'm like, wow. So I started kind of doing a little research on Lloyd Maines, and There was his website. There was his email address. I emailed him and said, hey, here's some of my demos online. I'd love for you to produce an album for me if you'd be interested. And, you know, I didn't think he'd even let me in the parking lot. But he got right back to me and he said, let's do it.
Wow.
So it was just really a very spontaneous, I just took a chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I'm just very, very happy and satisfied with the results.
And that album is Wood, Wire, and Whiskey, right?
That's correct. Yes. And
been out how long?
It's been out since October 1, I think, on on the digital platforms.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
I like to joke that those are the three most important elements of songwriting is the wood, wire, and whiskey.
In that order?
Not always.
How's the feedback been? Are you getting some? I listened to a couple of tracks, man. I really love it. I kind of felt like I was listening to a little bit of Steve Earle. Just some good Americana. You know, just good home feeling music. Are you getting some good feedback?
I really appreciate that because I also. I'm a huge fan of Steve Earle. He's just he definitely is an American treasure as well, along with Wayne. It comes and goes. It hasn't been that widely listened to yet. You know, a lot of my friends really love it and are impressed. And but I'm still just trying to get it out there and get it listened to. Every once in a while, you know, somebody will text me and tell me the wild thing is. Nobody has a CD player anymore.
I know.
So, the only way to get it out there, really, to a wider audience, is on the internet. And I'm a little bit internet challenged with the social media and all that. I'm slowly working on it. The website's done. Woodwireandwhiskey.com and rchall.net. So that's a huge challenge.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh man, I thought making an album was tough. Getting the website done was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, it really is. So I'm just now, trying to get some things going on social media and playing some gigs here and there. But I'll tell you what, when somebody does give me a compliment, whether I'm playing live or, you know, they said, hey, it means so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you put so much into it. So I know what it feels like, you know, when you finish your baby and you step back from it and you have to turn it loose into the world and like, okay, what do you think?
A very vulnerable place to be, really, because there's just so much energy and love, and it's a risk writing your own songs and doing something like that. It really is a risk, and it's a different kind of risk than I'm used to, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it just I just have so much admiration for anybody that takes that risk.
Sure.
Knowing what the process is like.
Yeah.
Now.
Go ahead.
It's, well, you know, I can only imagine that it's a lot different when you're in your 20s than it is to try and do something like this at 55. It's just, it creates a lot of doubts. Like, what am I doing?
It probably makes you feel a lot like you're 20 sometimes.
Sometimes it does, you know, it has had that effect for sure. In the early gigs, you know, it's like, God, am I too old for this? And, what the heck am I doing? I know I had a lot more confidence in my 20s than I do now. You see, you just fail at so many things over the years.
Yeah.
But, you know, all you can do is just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's kind of been part of it, you know, what am I doing? Why aren't I, why aren't I, after all these years, why can't I play it safe?
Yeah, but playing it safe kind of is that it's kind of goes along with that comment you made earlier. Are you gonna be old and be a musician, or be old and not be a musician? You know, are you gonna be old and have played it safe your whole life and wonder what would have happened if you hadn't?
Well, you know, I appreciate that, because that does, you know, that was the goal. I wanted to be a musician, and I never really dreamed that I would put out an album. It was never even like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to put, you know, take all these songs and put out an album one day. It's just like, it just happened. And like, so there was no overarching plan, and now boom, there's fruit. And it's like, God, what do I do now? I got all these apples and I don't know, you know, and I don't know what to do with all the, and so I'm just trying to go around handing out apples, and hopefully I can save some seeds and maybe do it again someday.
Yeah.
I already have the tracks, you know, pretty much for another album. I just need to get to that point financially.
Sure.
So
are you going to be out on the road with it at all? Are you going to get to tour? How are you going to share this, you know, past the local scene there?
Well, I'm kind of a home slice these days. I really love it in Rico, and my gal and I bought a little shack here in town that we're remodeling. So nothing like that is in the works. You know, fortunately I live here close to Telluride, and there's, you know, considering the fact that we're kind of out in nowhere, there's mm-hmm. a pretty decent music scene here. So I've just been playing around at some of the local bars and breweries, and hopefully, you know, I can keep keep working on the social media thing. Maybe someday it would be great. I would, you know, love to go out on tour. But right now, kind of working on the domestic tranquility here.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I hear you. Well, once again, the album is Wood, Wire, and Whiskey. Give me the socials again. Where can people find you?
Right now, the websites are woodwireandwhiskey.com and rchall.net. And that's about it for now. You can find me on Facebook under RC Hall. Working on getting that together. That's my next step in the process, is to try and get a little more social media out there, and hopefully I can double my $16 in royalties in the next couple of years.
There you go. Well, we definitely wish you well with it, RC, man. I enjoyed listening to it, and I agree with your old cowboy friend there. I think you got something, and I'd love to see you be able to cultivate it. So we appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us.
Yeah, thanks very much, Greg. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.